Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you, filling in for Sean Carey here in the producer's chair. And happy to do so today. Sean is on his way up to South Williamsport. He's going to be the public address announcer for a couple of international winners games on Sunday at Volunteer Stadium. So very excited for Sean with that. Congrats to Sean. He'll be out there on Sunday at 9 and 1 for those international winners games. So if you're heading up to South Williamsport this weekend for some Little League games, make sure you go over to Volunteer Stadium and give Sean a shout out. But he'll be back on the show tomorrow. Today's show is always brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll hear soon from Steve Jones from that one and only Sunbury Motors studio. And a lot to get to today on the show. First, we have a couple of nice guests today. Kim Jones of NFL Network is going to join us at 4:06 today. And we haven't had a chance to really catch up with her since her health issues, and good to see her obviously back on TV covering the Jets and Giants and other odds and ends for NFL Network. So she will join us today at 4:06. Cam Miller will be back on the show today, senior college football analyst for Pro Football Focused. He'll be later on today as well. And Ben Jones from statecollege.com will rejoin the show as well a little bit later on. Penn State football getting back in action after a little bit of a break that they had for the end of the summer session for those that were taking internships and classes. And so we'll hear from James Frank a little bit later on too. And big win for the Phils last night in Charlie Manuel's debut back, Steve.
Charlie Manuel's back. They scored 10 runs. Okay.
One for one, I guess, but we got a long way to go.
Let's be honest. I mean, did he walk in with a magic wand? They scored 10? I think it's great he's back, so please don't have anybody out there misconstrue that. But it's a nice coincidence. He hasn't had a chance to really work with anybody yet.
The Charlie cheers were started already last night.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes the fans feel great.
Yeah, I mean, Cubs are a team that they're battling for the wild card.
Yeah, and not only that, the Cubs are also, for whatever reason, I mean, the Cubs are a dramatically different team between home and away. They play at Wrigley Field. Wow. They don't play at Wrigley Field. Wow. It is really dramatically different. Dramatically different. But, hey, just got to keep winning. Just go win. And that's what they need to do. Go win. And, but Charlie got back last night. Little magic wand. And they score 10. And it's a nice coincidence.
And a rough return for Cole Hamels, too.
Yeah, it was a rough return for him. And again, I have no idea on the face of the earth why the Cubs are good at home and not great. Now, then there's the Red Sox. The Red Sox are really good on the road. Most teams would love to have their road record. They can't win at Fenway Park.
Which is really surprising because they've always been a good home team up there.
Well, the park is the team is designed for the park,
right?
Okay, great. They can't win at home. It's the darndest thing. All right, well, we got a lot of football talk today. Cam Miller, Pro Football Focus. Now, this is going to be fun today. You're going to like this. We're going to talk about rating college quarterbacks. Now, they asked me, when the ratings came out guy says, hey, they rated him 1 through 130. I said, who do you think number one is? I said, probably Trevor Lawrence of Clemson. It was. I said, well, who do you think's 130? I sat there for about 15, 20 seconds, and I said, all right, if I'm going to guess, Arthur Sitkowski at Rutgers. And he says, oh, my God. You got it right. Like, pure guess. I just went with a guy that I have complete confidence in that struggled last year. And unfortunately for him, he struggled. Doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback, but he struggled. I mean,
but he wasn't the main problem for Rutgers. Let's face it.
No.
They got plenty of other problems.
No. They do have their own specialized list of guys that are struggling. But that is, we're going to talk to Cam Miller, Pro Football Focus, about that. I think it's going to be a fun one. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We're going to talk with him, get his take on yesterday's press availability for Penn State football. We'll start with this. As expected, they're not ready to name anybody as the starting quarterback, and this goes back to what I said back in July and what I have tried to reiterate each week, that in a situation like this, there's no need to do it until you get to be about a week to 10 days out. You know, and I'm talking internally, a week to 10 days out. You allow it to play out on its own. You allow it to play out where the players do everything they can to determine who actually is one and who actually is two. You know, let them do it. Then at some point, if a choice needs to be made because it played out in such a way where they both did really well to the point where it's hard, then the coach has to make a call. Coach will have to make a call. Well, it's not that time yet. It's not that time to make it. You know, you still got, let's say, a 15th. I would guess that a week from today, that the staff will know who. So by the 22nd. And, of course, we have our meet and greet 6 days. 6 days away, we're going to be in Lewisburg. And we'll talk about all this and more with the people that show up. As you know, Maddie, I take every question along the way.
Of course, as always.
And quote, keep it among ourselves. As we talk to everybody, that's always the prerequisite going in. Hey, look, we'll talk about some things, but let's keep it here in the room. And we're going to have a lot of fun next Wednesday night. You'll be there.
Yeah.
Sean will be there. I believe Greg Wetzel will be there. I think the Chief, Dave Ritchie, will be there. Let's see.
I mean, Justin Roger Michaels coming?
I think Justin might be.
Okay.
I think Justin Michaels.
Again.
Yeah, it'll be great to see Justin again. And I believe the international award winner has said that he's considering going.
I would hope he's considering.
I guess he's bringing the hardware with him to just show the advertisers.
Well, that, and he may or may not be putting the whole thing together now.
He's putting it together?
As far as I'm aware, we had to send our RSVPs to him.
Yeah, I didn't RSVP. I didn't. I was like, I'm not RSVP to this.
I did a very informal one. I just said, hey, my wife and I are coming.
I think they pretty much assumed when they said, what date are you available, that was pretty much my RSVP.
Well, yeah, that's true. One would think, at least.
He's putting it together?
Oh. Just my assumption.
Brutal. Well, If he's putting it together, then it must be BY everything. BYO everything. Maddie, that just means you and I are on our own. He's got his big race in Pocono this weekend.
Yes, he does. Right? He will be there.
He's got his big race in Pocono, so he will be completely distracted from any party. Completely distracted. I mean, he will be. He's going to be completely distracted. So, again, we'll be on our own. All right, so Charlie Manuel, Magic Dust, and or and or Magic Wand and the Phillies hit. Which do you think it is, Matt?
I have to say with just the Phillies hit. And Cole Hamels was bad.
Yeah, there may have been a couple that were hung out over the plate. But you know, it's a good sign, though. Hey, just win games. Win games. You're right. They're competing with the Cubs in this wild card thing. Cardinals are there as well.
Go for the sweep tonight.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Cubs are baffling. I'll tell you who can't hit in the road. It's Anthony Rizzo. Can't hit in the road. This guy's had actually a pretty good career. And when they won in 2016, he was dynamic. It's also interesting, too, is that, you know, they signed Hayward to that long contract, and Hayward's done nothing with the Cubs except be, well, I shouldn't say done nothing. He's been a really good defensive player. But you also are acquiring his bat, too. Hayward's had a good year. Interesting. Very interesting. All right, we're going to have, next half hour we'll talk with Ben Jones. Then we'll talk with Kim Jones. And then Cam, my name's not Jones, Meller, in the final half hour. I think that's how we'll do it. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Well, he wasn't named interim director of finance at some company. He was just named interim hitting coach. Charlie Manuel had taken over with the Phillies. They scored 10 runs last night. And for him, and this is courtesy of NBC Philadelphia, it's quite interesting for him to be back.
I'm excited about it. I think it's a challenge. I like that. I've never been scared of nothing like that, especially when it comes to hitting. That's one of my favorite things to talk about, and I'm looking forward to it. I look at our team; we got a talented team, and that's one thing that helped my decision. And I look forward to it. It's just to the end of the season. We didn't talk about nothing else, but Soli was just about to hit into the end of the season, and that's fine with me. That's exactly the way I like it, really. I like the Phillies. I pull for them. I want us to get in the playoffs, and I like the people that I work for, and I love the fans. And I can't believe how good I get treated here and things like that. And like I said, the Phillies pay me, and I didn't feel like I should turn somebody down that wanted me, and then I'm already working for them. I think I'm 75 years old, and I don't think nothing bothers me anymore. That's what I think. But this job here, I think that I enjoy doing it, and I still get a kick out of watching a good baseball, and I want us to see the best baseball, and I love for us to get into the playoffs and actually win another World Series. And any way I can help, I want to do that. But there again, I'm gonna do everything I possibly can for us to improve.
Well, again, that's he said, I'm 75, and you get to my age, nothing bothers you. You are so right. he's got to sit there. I really don't care what you think.
And he's won a World Series, been to two. I mean, you know, he really can't do anything wrong in Philly anymore.
He's beloved.
Exactly.
Remember, when he was managing, they all wanted him out. When he was managing, Charlie Manuel, he's not smart enough. He's not this. He's not that. Like, he's not. Then he wins. He's the greatest. He wins and he leaves. So when he wins and he leaves, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. We love Charlie. He'll solve everything. Right? When he was managing, he's like, he's not solving anything.
Well, I will say it was time for him to go at the time he was let go, but it's just the Phillies haven't been able to replace him yet, really.
Oh, but it's interesting. When he was the manager, like, a lot of people wanted him out. Now it's like, Charlie, how are you? You doing all right? Feeling good? You're the greatest, man.
Because they realize how bad it's been.
You know, and it's not like things wouldn't have been bad if he was still the manager or whatever.
Right.
You know, those years. I mean, you have enough common sense to understand that stuff. Okay. But I think it's great he's being treated as well as he's being treated by the fans. He worked hard. And again, I talked to Chris Wheeler. If Chris Wheeler swears by the guy, Charlie Manuel was a great guy for Chris to, quote, talk baseball with. That's really important. And a manager or a coach does need a sounding board. You know? And at times, Wheels was that sounding board for him. That's great. And Wheels has told me enough about him over the years where I can understand why he feels that way. That Charlie Manuel's got in this world of robots and analytics and so forth, he's still a guy that has a really good, quote, feel for his profession. And he says he loves talking hitting. Well, he has a good feel for being a hitting teacher. So it's great to have him back on board. But it's just so interesting how you can go from the everyday slings and arrows of, Charlie's not doing a good job. Oh, they got to replace him. We got to find somebody else. It's got to be somebody better. Then he wins. Then he retires or is let go. And they go, a couple of years go by. Oh, Charlie. Hey, there isn't a steak in Philadelphia he can't have for free. Good for him. I'm glad to see him back. I think it's great for the organization, great for the city, great for the club. All right, next half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends from Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Yeah, we're heading into the latter half of the week. Penn State football, the opener will be 2 weeks from Saturday. Just 16 days away at Beaver Stadium when they take on Idaho. Yesterday, opportunity for head football coach James Franklin to meet with the media. And at this point, he said, look, there's really nothing to talk about yet in terms of the quarterback deal. But he did have a chance to talk about other topics. And one of the reporters there from StateCollege.com, Ben Jones. Hello, Ben. Great to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. I'm so used to coming in right after today in sports history that I was like almost in shock that it went right to me, but it's good to be here.
It is great to have you here, and we're not going to make you history. We're going to keep you on the show. Let's get to the press conference last night and just your takeaway from what James Franklin had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think mostly if you're James Franklin in Penn State, it's a combination of no news is good news, and at the same time, I think there are little tidbits there to say that the younger parts of this team are getting more mature as practice goes along. They're finishing installation of offense and defensive things. The defense is a little farther ahead of the offense, but that's pretty standard for most everybody in America this time of year. So I think, you know, you're just hearing that, you know, the younger guys are getting older. The older guys are who you thought. And, you know, so far, certainly for them, a knock on wood, you know, they haven't had to deal with any unexpected injuries. You remember last year and the year before, they've had so many guys that have either retired because of injury or had issues like that. It has been pretty smooth sailing so far. You know, if anything happens, don't blame me. But, you know, so up to this, they've been pretty healthy and they've been, you know, making progress every single day.
You also get a limited window to watch what is happening at a practice. We've talked about the athleticism of the team and the depth of athleticism. Is that apparent to you in the windows that you've had?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's no secret when you look on paper on either side of the ball the kind of athletes that Penn State has. We already know plenty about Micah Parsons. We know plenty about KJ Hamler. I think we had a pretty good idea about Justin Shorter last year, but injuries and playing time and all of that didn't really work in, you know, in his favor of seeing the field all that much. But you see him a little bit more, and you, you know, you stand next to Justin Shorter and you go, man, he is a big kid. He's a Juwan Johnson-sized kid with a lot of athleticism. And I think you look on the defensive side of the ball, you know, there's not a part of that defense that you can't name a guy who's fast, who's long. And, you know, James Franklin said that. That was one thing that he mentioned, that they finally had, you know, their first scrimmage in Beaver Stadium. They've got three more over the course of a training camp. But, you know, one of the things he noticed was what you kind of already knew, but you want to see again, is Penn State's defense is long and as fast as athletic. Certainly every coach thinks their defense is long, fast, and athletic. But I think when you really look at these guys, you look at them on paper and then you see them on the field, you know, it's hard to argue with that.
What was another key takeaway from you that just, it may have been a tidbit, but it stood out to you?
You know, talking to Garrett Taylor yesterday, you know, he's a guy I think Penn State fans, by the end of the season, you pretty much assumed you knew what you were going to get out of Garrett Taylor, and he played really well. And he just talked about the little things, you know, his ability to read offensive lines better, how the game is coming more and more naturally to him, that I think is really sort of the hallmark of where this team is in terms of the youth. I think, you know, like we said, there's a lot of talent, there are a lot of athletes on this team, but a lot of them are young. And really, you know, we talk about it in other sports, it's a popular thing to talk about in basketball, about how, you know, freshman to sophomore year, a sophomore to junior year, sometimes you see those biggest leaps. I think Penn State has the athletes to do all of these things. I think what you're seeing now in camp is a lot of these guys, the Micah Parsons, the Garrett Taylors, some of these guys who have played a lot of football, but ultimately are still kind of young, are able to take, you know, next steps mentally in the areas where, you know, suddenly things become quicker and quicker for them. They're able to use their athleticism, you know, faster and faster and be in the right position. And I think Micah Parsons last year is just the perfect example of that, starting out the year, maybe not always in position, but being able to make up for it with his athleticism. And by the end of the year, he was almost always in the right place and then able to make the play anyway. And I think Garrett Taylor is a guy, again, that you look at, you go, you know, he's played a lot of football for Penn State, it feels like, but ultimately, you know, he's still pretty young. And to hear him say how he's getting even better, it gives Penn State fans a good reason to be excited.
As a guy that has played a lot of football, Garrett Taylor, at the safety spot, what kind of read did he give all of you on the other safeties, Lamont Wade, Jonathan Sutherland, Jaquan Brisker?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because you do ask him about that, and, you know, these guys are always very noncommittal about trying to set a depth chart for you, but, you know, he said that Lamont Wade has had, you know, a strong summer. I think, you know, people have anticipated Lamont Wade, sort of his rise, so to speak, to finally get to this opportunity. And like you said, you know, Garrett Taylor has played a lot of football for Penn State now, and it seems like his fifth or sixth year on the depth chart. You know, so Lamont Wade is obviously a guy that people are looking at. C.J. Holmes is out there. Jonathan Sutherland, you know, like you said, he played some probably more quality minutes for Penn State last year. Not really minutes in basketball, but he played quality snaps for Penn State more than he got credit for last year. So there are a lot of choices. I just think that's a good example probably in camp right now where, you know, maybe you get to week two or three before you're really settling on that because you've got enough guys that are sort of neck and neck at that second safety spot.
I didn't see the presser with Garrett Taylor when he was on the field, so I'll ask this question blind, but he has to defend against the quarterbacks. Now, he's not going to tell you who's better one than the other. That's not – the premise of the question. But in general, what does he think about the quarterbacks he's trying to defend right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to a certain extent, I think everybody, you know, probably the players included, go into this quarterback race assuming that Sean Clifford is going to be the guy by the virtue of, you know, the experience and the fact that, you know, just how the depth chart shook out last year and the fact that he has played well and has a little bit more experience. But I think anyone, and Garrett Taylor included, has seen Will Levis throw football. That kid throws it hard. I mean, he could, there is not a throw he can't make. I have no idea how good Will Levis would be on third down in Columbus, and to a certain extent, I don't know how good Sean Clifford's going to be in third down in Columbus. But I think, you know, you look at Will Levis throw the ball, he can chuck it. He's a big guy. He's got a Tommy Stevens sort of body. He's a little bit bigger than Sean. And you talk to Garrett, you talk to a lot of these players, and they say, you know, they're both playing it pretty well, throwing it pretty well. Of course, you know, like you said, you know, they're not really in a position to go and say, you know, Will's playing awful or Sean's playing awful. But
right.
I think, you know, as this goes along, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a slightly closer competition than people anticipated. Do I think Sean Clifford's going to be the starting quarterback at the end of the day? Yes. Do I think, you know, Penn State probably already knows that right now? Yes. Are they saying it? No. But I think, you know, we talk a lot about Tommy Stevens and his role in the backup position over the past few years. You know, certainly we haven't seen Will Levis play meaningful football, but when you look at him play and look at him in practice and see him throw and look at his body and everything, he certainly checks off a lot of boxes in terms of competent backup if that's the role he ends up with.
You referenced basketball a couple of times during the course of our discussion here. In basketball, at the end of a semester, there's that transition from semester to semester where it's, quote, basketball only during the holidays. And Patrick Chambers or any basketball coach, and I've talked to Nathan Davis of Bucknell about this, that time they feel like they can get a lot done. Penn State right now is in the transition from the end of summer session until the fall semester begins. How important is this time because it is football only?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I think it to a certain extent is a little bit like those extra bowl practices. You know, Penn State fans in general love bowls because it's an extra game and there's a lot of clout and things. Those are all very good things, but I think probably the biggest thing, especially for a young program going into a bowl game, is all the extra practices that you get. I think you look this time of year, when you're transitioning between things, especially at Penn State where they kind of, I'm not sure how the breakdown is in terms of across the conference. You know how they compare in terms of things. I know Northwestern, I think, has got a different semester schedule, sort of thing, so they get a little bit more football only time.
Yeah.
But you know, James Franklin mentioned it last week that when you're in this period, you know, you can have these guys focusing just on football because you know there's a lot of other things going on, especially for younger kids that they've been in for the summer. They're taking summer classes. They're adjusting, you know, to college on all of the things that that means. You know, you get a week or two where you have nothing but football. You know, that's a good time to get a lot of things done, get a lot of things ironed out because they don't have, you know, English class to worry about. They don't have Spanish to worry about. They've just got football to worry about.
There are certain players where it's obvious. If Micah Parsons has a great year, boom. If Yetur Gross-Matos has a great year, boom. If Will Levis or Sean Clifford has a great year, boom, okay. Give me somebody that would be a little bit under the radar that you think on each side of the ball, Ben, could be a swing guy in making that has the chance to help make this a really good season.
You know, talking to Jahan Dotson, he reminds me of a younger Deshaun Hamilton and really an older Deshaun Hamilton because Deshaun was never a very loud, outspoken sort of guy. But I think, you know, Deshaun, his consistency over the, especially the back half of his career, was really one of the staples of that offense, was his ability to go up and make all those catches. I think Jahan certainly has a long way to go to become, you know, the next Deshaun Hamilton. But I think, you know, his consistency and his ability to get plugged in last year in the second half of the year and go out and make catches when, you know, a lot of people weren't doing it on a consistent basis. You know, you talk about KJ, you talk about Justin Shorter. I think Jahan Dotson's got an opportunity to be a guy that steps up and is a consistent, you know, second or third option. And I think defensively, you look at a guy like Jesse Luketa, I think You know, his body has filled out nicely. He has always been a guy in the weight room that Dwight Gall has talked about. And that linebacker group, I think, you know, we know what we know about Cam Brown. We know what we know about Micah Parsons. And, you know, we know that there are a lot of other options there. You know, Jesse Luketa, you know, I think he has the opportunity to step up. You never really know because, you know, you just have to see what the opportunities are. But I think you talk in terms of guys who pass the eye test, guys who are in a position, a little bit of need. Jesse Luketa is certainly there, and I wouldn't be surprised if by, you know, the midway point of this year, he's someone that people know a little bit more about than they do right now.
Ben, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.
StateCollege.com. Next half hour, Kim Jones coming up from NFL Network. Final half hour, Cam Miller from Pro Football Focus. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, Kim Jones, NFL Network, next half hour. Great to have you with us. So thanks to Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. I think for a lot of people to this point, I think they have found the Penn State camp to be quiet. That is a good thing. You know, they're going about their business. You know, like any camp, you're doing your installs and so forth. At some point, they'll get to a point where they'll make a decision on, you know, who should be playing and who shouldn't be playing. I mean, they'll get to a point, and and the list of guys that now play is a really long list. It's long for a couple of reasons. Number one, you want to build depth at most at almost all your positions in terms of playing, because playing more people these days and spreading out the reps allows for a fresher product in the fourth quarter. So that's why you see such an extensive rotation on the defensive front. That's why you see how they rotate in the secondary, how they rotate receivers offensively. They'll rotate the running backs. You'll see that with the idea, you know, they'll do the same thing at tight end with Pat Freiermuth and Nick Bowers, and maybe even Zach Kuntz. But they try to do that so that you've got the freshest legs. Sports performance has done that. They're logging all the time, you know, with certain players during a practice as to where's their energy level, where's their fatigue level, is there a drop-off in performance. This is all being done, and it's something that, let's see, David Hamilton came. Now, David's with Tampa Bay now. He's with the Bucks. But David Hamilton came in, I want to say in 16, maybe, right around there. And now they actually have data that shows and gives coaches a better guide on how to practice, which then, of course, goes into games. So you're going to get more players playing because you're trying to get to that fourth quarter and then go with your best players who are fresh and not as tired. You're going to get tired anyway, but not as tired. You're also going with more sub packages now, dimes and nickels, and which means again more people end up playing in sub packages. offensively, sub-packages, more people end up playing. So you're trying to determine not just a two deep of 1-2. You're now trying to also determine what your two deep is like in your sub-package. Who's my second nickel? Who's my second dime? And that's what they're doing right now. And you go through the practices with the idea of the players essentially doing everything they can to tell you as to where it should shake down. And then sometimes it'll get so close that you, the coach, have to make that decision. But I always laugh when, you know, the coaches have to decide, blah, blah, blah. Most of the time the player decides who plays. Not because they walk in and go, I'm playing, but their performance is so good in practice that it's obvious that they're the ones that deserve the first shot. And you still have time for that. They don't play this weekend. They don't play next weekend. But by the time you do get to next weekend, that has to be nulled out, at least for the opener. Because then you have to go into a game practice routine, which is going to be different than what you're doing right now. And probably in about a week, I would say a week from today, I wouldn't doubt that the coaches themselves, a week from today, have a pretty good idea about how it's nulled itself out to start the season with Idaho. Also means that during the season, it doesn't mean it can't change. Somebody gets a little better, somebody falls off. You know, you don't want to get into the injury part. I think that's an obvious part as to why it happens in a certain way. But, you know, that's why there is so much talk at this time of the year in generalities. And don't feel like coaches are holding back on you. Don't make that mistake. They, too, are sitting there looking at evaluations themselves on an everyday basis because right now there is no pressure to pick people. There is no pressure to pick a second and third team corner. There is no pressure to pick a third or fourth tight end. There is no pressure to pick a second team right tackle, and there's no pressure at the moment to pick a quarterback. Now, that changes after the weekend is over with. We're now, it's not a pressure, but now, look, hey, we've got to put this together now as to who's a one and who's a two here, at least to start with. As of today, they don't have to do it. They are still in the evaluation process of the preseason. So when they say we haven't even talked about it, you're like, oh, that's impossible. They probably have not talked about it. I mean, I know as somebody that stands there every day, I'm watching and taking it all in. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll be standing with somebody else. I go, Dr. Spashinelli and I stand together a lot. I mean, you know, old friend of 25 years, you will. And we haven't talked about it. Because we know how camp works. That's impossible. How could you not? We don't. We know how camp works. So you have a different perspective as to why it is working.